with holidays, but we are happy to have you here with us. Consider yourself our honored guest today. You know, some of you may remember the old game show Beat the Clock. The game required contestants to complete a number of tasks in a certain amount of time and thus beating the clock. Now, if you watch sports, you may always like to see that team trying to beat the clock at the end, that game-winning drive in football or that buzzer-beating three-pointer at the end of a basketball game. And some of you may even remember that game where you would set the timer and push the board down and try to get all the little different shapes in before that thing popped up and scared you half to death, throwing all the pieces back in your face. You're trying to beat the clock on that. Really, when you think about it, too often all of our lives are basically lives surrounded with beating the clock. You rush to catch your plane. You rush to get to practice on time. You rush to get to work on time. Many of you may have rushed to get to church on time this morning. It seems that we're always rushing here and there, trying to get things done in a certain amount of time, trying to be on time, trying to conserve time. And we only try to conserve time so we'll have time to fill up with other things, right? We don't ever conserve time necessarily just to rest. As a result, we're constantly telling our children, hurry up, let's go, we're going to be late. Or we're telling people, I just don't have enough time, you know, to do everything that I would like to do today. You know, there was a study once by USA Today that showed that a person would need a 42-hour day to do everything that they wanted to do on average. We'd need to add some hours to our day for certain. Of course, that means that it is impossible for us to get everything done that we want to get done oftentimes within a single 24-hour day. At some point, we must reach the conclusion that life has to be about more than simply beating the clock. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16, the Apostle Paul wrote, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. As children of God, as Christians, we need to be careful about how we walk. Since we are followers, we must make certain that we conduct ourselves according to the way that the Lord has set before us. What we must do is match what we say with what we know Christ wants us to be. It is a waste to hold holy doctrines and holy professions and not live holy lives. Redeeming the time, or making the most of our time, as the Apostle Paul says, means buying up those moments which so many other people in our world simply throw away. Let time be your chief commodity. Buy it all up and use every portion of it, but use it wisely. Eternity depends on how we use the time that is given to us every day. Oh, time is a precious commodity for us, but it's often not a precious commodity for us for the right reasons and right motivations. We want time for us, right? We want time to do what we need or want to do so we can feel like we've been productive or like we've accomplished something. We want to meet our own criteria for our time. We even tend to view time as our possession, do we not? I mean, just listen to the things we say sometimes. She sure did waste a lot of my time, right? I need my time. You know, one of the worst things said in a marriage is, I need my own time. No, you don't. You're one. You don't get any more of that. Where did we ever get the idea that time belongs to us? While time is valuable, we need to realize it's a gift. Yes, Paul says that we should make the most of our time, but time truly doesn't belong to us. We are stewards of the time that we have been given, and we don't know how much we have. Therefore, we better spend it wisely. We better invest it wisely. We must treat it as the precious commodity that it is. Imagine that someone told you tomorrow that they were going to put 86,400 pennies in your bank account. Now, for all you math whizzes, And see, I got to use my calculator before I got up here. That's $864, right? Every day, they're going to put 86,400 pennies in your account. Now, the only stipulation is that you have to spend all of that. You have to spend every bit of it, and I bet that if that was happening for you, because at the end of the day, it's all gone. You can't get it back. And you'll get a new $86,400 tomorrow. I bet we'd try to spend every penny. We'd find something to buy, something to donate to, something to invest in. We'd find some way to spend that money on a daily basis. And yet God gives each one of us 86,400 seconds every single day. And it's the same way He deposits those into our account, and He expects you to spend every bit of it in the best way possible. And if you fail to use the day's deposits, it is gone. And there is nothing you can do to get it back. It is gone, it has went away, and it's not coming back. There is no drawing against tomorrow. You must live in the present day. You must live today making the most of today's deposit. You must spend your time wisely. Far too many of us do not live in the moment. We live in tomorrow. We live in next week. We live in next month. But we don't live for today. We are so busy scheduling and planning for days that haven't even arrived and may not arrive. How many people have died with their calendars full? We plan for so many days. And yet we do not live today. We never stop to celebrate the time that we have right now. Think about how much of your day is future focused. How much of your day you're spending thinking about some other day instead of dealing with today. You know, I must try to make the most of my time by spending it for God. I'm going to show Him in my life by how I live today. I'm going to proclaim Him with my mouth, and I'm going to savor the moment that I have been given because I am alive. God has blessed me with that life, and I'm going to do the very best I can with it. But more importantly, I'm alive not only physically, but this morning we are alive spiritually, and that is cause for us to celebrate today. You know, Psalm 118:24, a very familiar passage says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." The psalmist duly notes that the day belongs to God. Why does it belong to God? Because He made it. It is His. And you'll notice that the only day that is mentioned in this particular text is this day. He doesn't mention tomorrow. He doesn't say, tomorrow you can rejoice again. No, He says, today's the day to rejoice. Today's the day to be glad. He doesn't talk about yesterday and what kind of rejoicing you may have done then. It is today that He tells us to rejoice in. It is the only day at hand. Now you may be saying to yourself, now wait a minute, Nathan, we hear you all the time. I know some of you say that a lot. We hear you all the time talk about how we should be heavenly focused, how we should be looking forward to eternity. And yes, I do. I say that. And I harp on that. I grant you that. But we can live for the moment and still be heavenly focused. In fact, the reason that we can live in the moment and rejoice in the moment is because we do know about heaven. Because we do know about our eternal reward. That's how we live today. We can enjoy the day because we are living it for the Lord that will take us home one day. We also glean from this psalm that each day should be dedicated to the glory of God. You notice that there's two verbs employed here, it is and has. One is past tense and one is present tense. This is the day the Lord has made. You know, the Lord has made it. It's past tense, but it is ours now, this present moment, to delight in, to rejoice in. And it's because we are only allotted a certain amount of time and because we are only guaranteed the day, the time is so valuable. You can't store it up. You can't stretch it. You can only spend it. And I think we all know and we all can immediately guess what I'm going to say in regards to how we should spend it and how we should invest it, and that is in God and His purposes. And finally, we notice from Psalm 118:24 that because we are granted the day and because time is a gift from God, we should spend it revealing His glory. You might could say that the psalmist here is telling the reader to stop and to smell the roses. I guess you could say the roses that God has placed in our lives. Of course, we live in a culture that finds this very hard to do. We're so wrapped up in our schedules and we're running so fast all the time that we rarely ever have time to bend down and smell the roses or to take account of our blessings that are all around us at any given moment of the day. We're too quick to the next place in our life to realize just how wonderful the one we're currently living is. Did you know that in a lifetime average, an American will spend 6 months sitting at red lights, 8 months opening junk mail, 1 year looking for misplaced objects. I spent almost that this morning looking for my keys. 2 years unsuccessfully returning phone calls. 4 years doing housework. 5 years waiting in line. And 6 years eating, give or take, depending on the person. We are busy people. We spend a lot of time doing really important things, and of all the really important tasks that I just mentioned, none of them are tasks that we enjoy. We don't enjoy sitting at red lights. We don't enjoy failing to return a phone call. We don't enjoy all those things except for eating, maybe. That's the only one that we actually enjoy. And so you take all that time, and most of that we don't really even enjoy it. A lot of it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter what the events of your day consist of. There will always be those things that we have to deal with, those things that demand our attention, that are not pleasurable, that are not enjoyable. The most miserable people in this life are the ones that make it their mission and their goal to be happy every moment. And yet you can't be happy every moment, but you can rejoice. But whether you enjoy the day has nothing to do with your circumstances. See, our text reads, "Let us rejoice and be glad in it." There's no if on that. That is a statement of resolve. Our rejoicing must not come as a result of external factors. It comes from internal factors. It comes from what is within us. It comes from our faith in a God that we know controls everything. And whether this day is good or whether this day is bad, I know that at the end of this day, God is still in control. And that I am still His child. And that He will take care of me. Why? Because He's promised He will. And I can rejoice in that. You know, we see the same thing in the New Testament. Paul, of course, talked about rejoicing regardless of one's circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, he says, "Rejoice always." Philippians 4, in verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. This is a man writing in the book of Philippians while he's in jail. And not the nice jails that we have, right? But a horrible Roman prison. And yet he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Could you rejoice in a place like that? Well, if you trust in God, you could. Because you know that He will take care of you. Just as He took care of Paul. Always rejoice, because we always have reason to rejoice. Rejoice in the fact that you are alive. Rejoice in the fact today that you draw breath and have an opportunity to lead someone to heaven. Thank God for your provisions, the roof over your head, the clothes on your back, the food on your table. Thank you for your family. Thank you for your friends. Many of you have your family here this morning, and I'm sure that as you've prayed over your meals the last few days, that you've said, "We're thankful that we're together as a family." So we're thankful for our family. We're thankful for our friends. We absolutely thank Him for the sacrifice of His Son. No day changes how wonderful that is. The darkest day of your life, Jesus Christ still shines bright in His sacrifice. Rejoice in the glorious hope that the best is yet to come. So often our nation judges itself. I remember back at the end of Jimmy Carter's presidency in '79, they had come out with a poll that said that most Americans believe the best days were behind them. And we still get those polls today, right? How many Americans believe the best days are ahead or behind in this country? Let me tell you what, for the Christian, the best days are always ahead. That should be 100% when a Christian, do you believe the best days? Yes, absolutely, I do. Because there's a day coming in my future where I go to heaven. I go home to be with God. There's a man named Nick. And Nick was born with no arms and no legs. No arms to wrap around another to give a hug to. No hands to experience the sensation of touch. No fingers to perform even the simplest of tasks. No legs to walk or to run or even stand. No feet to kick a ball or push the accelerator of a car. Naturally, you might wonder how Nick is able to function at all in this life. You know, Nick, how does he get around? How does he put on his clothes? How does he eat and drink? How does he find the will to even live each and every day? Not only did Nick deal with the typical challenges that come with growing up in this life for any individual, the challenges of bullying and self-esteem issues, he also dealt with depression. He dealt with loneliness as he questioned why he was so different than the other kids that were around him at school. But as he grew, Nick learned to deal with his circumstances. He adapted to his situation. He found ways to accomplish tasks that we take quite simply for granted. He learned to brush his teeth, to comb his hair, to type on a computer, to swim, and to even play some sports. After high school, Nick went to earn a double bachelor's degree, majoring in accounting and financial planning. Now at 25 years old, Nick, this limbless man, has accomplished more than most human beings who have arms and legs. He is president of an international nonprofit organization and is a highly sought-after motivational speaker. The name of his motivational speaking company is Attitude is Attitude. Right? Nick travels around the world sharing with people the importance of perspective and how one's attitude toward their circumstances directly impacts the lives that they live, how you look at your day, how you look at your challenges, how you look at your life will determine so much about the person you are. Nick says, people often say to me, how can you smile? Then they realize there's got to be more than meets the eye if a guy without arms and legs is living a fuller life than they are. See, Nick chose not to focus on the fact he didn't have arms and legs. Too often we focus on the negative, but instead he decided to focus on the life he could live and the difference he could make in the lives of people around him. And it made all the difference. Nick is a perfect example of how attitude and perspective makes all the difference. He treats every day as a blessing from God. Rather than focusing on his adverse circumstances, he focuses on his blessings. And even with no legs and no arms, there are many to be thankful for. He chooses to rejoice. So the next time you feel like you're focusing down on your problems, remember that they are not the whole of who you are. And they are not the whole of your day. That there is God in your day. And you should rejoice and be glad in that. And the problem, you can face it better by remembering that you serve a God that can overcome any problem that this world ever can offer. Folks, this is the day. Today. Not yesterday, not tomorrow. Today. This is the day that the Lord has made. How are we going to spend it? Will you be a good steward of what God has entrusted you with today? Will you live this day for Him? Will you invest your time wisely? Will you celebrate? Or will you be too busy or too depressed as you think about difficulties and those things prevent you from rejoicing and living as God would have you to live? A person once said, it was spring, but it was summer I wanted, the warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted, the colorful leaves and the cool dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted, the beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted, the warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted, to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle-aged I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. Then my life was over, and I never got what I wanted. How often do we live our lives like that? Constantly looking for something else and constantly missing what we have. Many people try to convince themselves that things will be better when they reach a certain point in their life. They feel as though once they become an adult or after they get married or have a good job or start a family, life will magically improve, right? Let me tell you what, you don't have to live very long, do you, to know that that's not really how it works. But then frustration comes with the responsibility of adulthood. They realize the stress that comes with making their own living. Married life proves to be more than just living on love, as we say sometimes, right? You get that good job, but you have to work all the time just to make ends meet. You start a family, and as special as the new baby is, it draws all of your attention, takes all of your time, and all of your sleep, right? It's so cute. Except at 3 a.m. in the morning. The things you once looked forward to are here, and suddenly they're not nearly as glamorous as they looked when you were looking into the future. So you choose other things to wish for. You dream about how nice it would be when the kids get older. They can take care of themselves. You can't wait until you can afford that new car and that new house or that new boat. You anticipate the day that you can retire and just sit on the front porch and watch the world go by, and you get there and you sit on the front porch and you grow bitter about the old days that were so much better. And we waste life. Someone once said that we are a half-empty generation now. Instead of having a cup that runneth over, we have a cup that has a leaky bottom. And we seem to have forgotten how to live for the moment. And of course, forgotten assumes that we once knew. And I'm not sure that many of our society ever knew it. Never understood it. There was a song by Tim McGraw a few years back, "Live Like You Were Dying." And it was the perspective of his father, Tug, who was told that he had 3 weeks to live. And how that changed his life and the way that he looked at life as he faced his last 3 weeks, which turned into his last 9 months. But imagine going about your daily routine of beat the clock and then finding out you have 3 weeks to live. How do you change? What changes in your daily act? How would you react? Initially, I'm sure your heart would sink. You might be overcome with fear. You might be overcome with anxiety. But once the devastating news began to sink in and you begin to realize that your expiration date is about to expire, what would you do? I think it's safe to say you would live that last 3 weeks very differently than you'd lived the 3 weeks previous to that moment. Your outlook on life would be dramatically different than before. Perhaps you'd take a trip. Maybe you would do some things you always wanted to do but never made time for. You would certainly cherish time with your family. Cherish time with your friends. You'd want to reconcile certain relationships. You would never pass up an opportunity to tell them that you love them. I'm almost certain that all of us here would try to draw closer to God. We would seek a relationship deeper than we've ever had before. But it's very possible today that some of us have 3 weeks to live. There's just no doctor to tell us. How are we going to live? We're going to live for next year. We're going to live for 3 years from now. We're going to live for someday. Are we going to live today with all of our might? Because today is all we have. Today is all that God has given us. And we're not guaranteed another one. So all the things that we might do if we knew we had 3 weeks to live, we need to be doing those today. We need to be telling people we love them. We need to be reconciling broken relationships. We need to be living every moment as God would have us to live. We don't know how many tomorrows or how many todays God will give us from this point forward. In short, I think if we knew, we would savor every moment. And you would savor each and every moment because you knew those moments were almost gone. You would be playing one final game. A beat the clock. Now let me ask you, How much will your life change knowing that today is all you're promised? How much will you change? Because you have to realize that every day you are one step closer to eternity. How are you redeeming the days? How are you living for the Lord? Paul told the Romans, today is the day of salvation, and it is for you today, and it is for me today. I can live all the days previous to today as God would have me to live and be lost by the way I live today. I can live all the days previous to today lost and be saved as a result of my actions today. Today is the day of salvation. We can assist you in any way in coming to the salvation that Jesus Christ provides. We hope and pray that you will do that. If it is to become a child of God, to be buried again, be buried in baptism, to believe in Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, confess Him as the Son of God, rise from that watery grave baptism, having your sins washed away, to be a child of God, a Christian, to walk a new life that rejoices in every day that God has given us and lives every day to its fullest for the God that gave it to them. Maybe you're a child of God today and you haven't been living for God every day. Begin today. And make every day from this day forward a day that you rejoice in because God has given it to you. And live it to your fullest. Live it to the fullest for God that He might reward you one day. If we can assist you in any way this morning spiritually, we hope and pray that you will let us as together we stand and as we sing.